I might get a look of fear, like, what do you want? Or I might get someone who smiles and says, hello, welcome. I mean, it's very, people send signals that can be very easy to detect. They were to remain in the same place where they were received, eating and drinking there, not go house to house for whatever reason. I mean, you could think of a lot of reasons, you know, but really no other reason is necessary than the Lord's command. He thought it wise. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, you just eat what they give you. Whatever they give you, eat it. And heal their sick and say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God is near. It's come. It's close to you. And then he says, when they don't receive you, though, I want you to go out in the streets and say something. I want you to shake the dust off your feet, and you say this to them. Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Their city is so distasteful to God, they wipe the dust off themselves that came from that city. A sign of utter contempt. That's like I said the other day, when people say this to each other, it is a sign of utter contempt. And without having some sort of, this is a compelling mission from Jesus himself. This is judgment. Careful when you use some sort of compelling judgment like that. Not that I'm afraid God is going to honor it if you do it wrong, but just what you do to yourself. And when you do things in Jesus' name, you ought to be careful that you know you're doing what he wants you to do. And what you're saying is given to you to say. I hold the same rule to myself. Though there's certainly a place for this. There is certainly a place for standing up and saying so. I shake the dust off my feet. But like I said, what are you going to do? I shake this URL off of my history at you. It doesn't have the same power. It's just just one more way people use to jab at each other to no real effect. You're just trying to hurt people. And not that I'm a bleeding heart about, you know, people are so sensitive these days about sharp words. You know, just a few sharp words. Just a little sharp rebuke. Oh, and people get very upset. They're so afraid of conflict. They're so afraid of sharp exchanges. You know, I always try to look out that I don't become verbally abusive towards people and use those subtle manipulations people do. You know, like we say, even someone like you should be able to understand this. You know, and where you're basically going to the man and going ad hominem attacks. That means to the man, or you're setting up straw men. I like to argue or discuss or debate. You know, it says, well, Paul, it says the man of God must not strive. Yeah, but we earnestly contend for the faith. We don't strive as others strive. But there is a striving. Don't be mistaken. When it says, like, strife and debates are evil things that happen in the church, what happens is when you allow someone who has false doctrine to come in and start debating the truth, that is unsettling to people who aren't well-grounded in the truth. And we shouldn't allow it. But on the other hand, I'll go to their place and argue with them and unsettle their people. You know, I'll go to their camp and pick off their weak, meaning those who are weak in the ways of unbelief, meaning their unbelief isn't very strong. Maybe there's a chance they might believe. I go in there to pick those people off. Because I tell you, the unbelievers, many of them are just as anxious for converts as the most zealous evangelical. Not that I'm anxious for converts, but I don't have any problem taking the fight to the enemy. But I don't allow the enemy to bring a fight into my house. And I hope you understand what I mean. I mean a spiritual battle. What do you think it talks about when Paul talks about, you know, having your loins girt about with truth and the sword of the Spirit and all that? We are fighting a spiritual battle, which means a battle of ideas. A battle not of arm against arm, but against spirit against spirit, against words, against thoughts, against feelings. Those are the battles we fight. And we do fight. In this case, though, in this time, though, they're not fighting. They're just declaring. Some things are done at a certain time for a certain purpose, and it is presumptive of us to try to replicate that. The Lord Jesus was coming to that town. Therefore, he sent men ahead of him to prepare the way. And he tells them, no matter whether they receive you or whether they receive you not, you tell them the kingdom of God has come close to you. Here comes the king. And he says, it'll be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. In the day of God's judgment, in the day the kingdom of God is established, it will become more tolerable. And what's that mean? I've had people say all kinds of weird ideas they draw out of this idea of the more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. He's just using that. It's not saying that like, well, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be forgiven, or they need to have a chance to be forgiven, or some other kind of off-the-wall idea. What it means is that their sin is greater, and therefore their judgment is going to be harsher. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels came to the city and didn't rebuke the people, didn't call them to repent, but merely checked them out to see what they were like and found them worthy of judgment. See, God does not need to preach the gospel to us, to offer eternal life to us in order to judge us. He can judge us just the way we are. And he, being our creator, knows what we are and what we were made for. That's why it's destiny. You know, if he made you a clay pigeon, he's going to blow you up. Because that's what people make clay pigeons for. And that's what God makes the wicked for. He made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the evil day. Proverbs 16:4. And Romans 9 confirms it. It's very simple. That God creates the wicked to fulfill a purpose. And that purpose is wrath. And yeah, he did create them for other purposes. But that purpose remains. So the judgment is more tolerable because it is not as harsh. They will receive a harsher judgment. Why? Because they saw all these mighty works. The mighty works that have been done in these cities. If Sodom had seen these, they would have repented. If those angels had come in, healing the sick and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, turn from your sins. Those people would have said, okay. They would have all put on sackcloth and said, God is going to judge us if we don't repent. The kingdom of God is coming. They would have repented. But this city does not repent. And to think of it, and don't forget this, and I love to say this because I know it's going to make people angry. Romans 9. No man resists his will. Those that did not receive him in Christ's day, they were blind, and God blinded them. God hid the wisdom from them. And you will then say to me, as all do, when such an idea is presented to them, verse 19 of Romans 9, you will then say to me, why does he yet find fault?